The Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our toil and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, our Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading is from Romans chapter 10. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, last week, it was Transfiguration Sunday. Today, we're looking at another strange event. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, immediately after his baptism, Jesus wandered into the wilderness and didn't eat for 40 days, and then was subjected to a series of temptations by humanity's arch foe, Satan. Why? When Jesus was baptized, right before this temptation in the wilderness, God's voice was heard from heaven saying, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." So why would God put him through this torture? 40 days without food. And then these strange temptations. What was the point? Was it for Jesus to set an example of restraint and willpower for us to follow? And in following the example of Jesus, we please God? Is that the point? You know, we emphasize to our confirmation students that the best description of the Bible is not a handbook for living, as you often hear these days. Far more accurate is to describe the Bible as the story of God redeeming mankind, rescuing mankind from our sinfulness. So how does the temptation of Christ in the wilderness fit into the story of redemption? Well, going back to the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis 3, where Adam and Eve lived in the first wilderness, the Garden of Eden, Satan was there also, tempting Eve to eat from the tree that God had told them not to eat from. Satan challenged Eve. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" And Eve responded, "Well, no, but God did say not to eat of that tree in the garden, or even touch it, or you'll die." "Oh, come on, Eve. You won't die. God knows that if you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God." And that sounded pretty good, to be like God, to call the shots, and be the captain of your own ship. So Eve and Adam ate of the fruit. They chose to trust Satan instead of God. And that incident marked the entrance of sin into the world, what we call original sin. All of us, descended from Adam and Eve, are afflicted with this original sin and tainted with the ever-present inclination to sin, to love self above God or our neighbors. The next major wilderness story in the Bible involves Moses leading the Jewish people out of slavery into Egypt, into the land of God, the land that God had promised to their ancestor Abraham. Our Old Testament lesson today references this event. As the greatest army in the world closed in on Moses and the people, they trembled, trapped against the shore of the Red Sea, expecting that their children would be slaughtered before their eyes on the beach. But as the chariots in the distance raced toward them, Moses lifted his staff and the waters parted, and the people, many hundreds of thousands of them, walked across on dry seabed to the other side. The Egyptian army in pursuit was swallowed up in the water. And then, out in the desert, when the people were thirsty, God provided water from a rock. When the people were hungry, he provided manna every morning and quail, so the people had meat. And their response? Well, Psalm 78, verse 17 says, "Despite God's provision, they sinned against him all the more. Despite everything they'd seen God do for them, they refused to trust in God's deliverance and strength. They refused to live by God's word and put God to the test by making demands, just like Adam and Eve, just like us. And that brings us to the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. For 40 days, he ate nothing. Finally, at the point of starvation, Jesus was confronted by Satan, who tempted him just like he tempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Jesus is often referred to as the second Adam. Well, this second Adam wasn't taking the bait. "Turn these stones into bread," Satan urged. But Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8:3 to Satan. The only food Jesus craved was the Word of God. And when Satan showed Jesus all the world's kingdoms and wealth and offered it all to Jesus if he'd just worship him, Jesus quoted Exodus 20. Verses 2 and 3. Jesus knew the suffering and the cross that awaited him, and the temptation to avoid it was real. But he stayed the course, and because he was tempted in every way we are, and more, he's able to sympathize with our suffering. Read Hebrews 4:15. But does that mean that the purpose of all his suffering was to provide a moral example to you and me? Was that the purpose? So we can look at Jesus and model ourselves after him. Is that the reason Jesus suffered in the wilderness? Often it's presented that way. And if the Bible were simply a handbook for living, then that would make sense. Here's how you handle temptation. Quote Scripture and stand firm on your values. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's good advice. The only problem is, you still fail at resisting temptation, even though you've got great values. And if you don't think you fail at resisting temptation, read Matthew 5, verses 17 to 48. Or read Romans 1, verse 18 to Romans 3, verse 20. Fortunately for sinners like us, the Bible is not primarily a handbook for living. It's the story of God redeeming sinful mankind, and you and I are sinful and in need of redeeming. It's the story of God redeeming all of us from our sinfulness. And that's exactly why Jesus resisted all Satan's temptations and then died on a cross. Not to set a moral example, but to establish his perfect righteousness, and then to atone for our sin, the sin of the unrighteous, us, by dying on a cross for you and me. There's a guy named Daniel Emery Price. I've got a commentary that he wrote on the parables of Jesus. He speaks at theology conferences quite a bit, and he's a pretty funny guy. He told this story. I get a lot of ads for new churches on my Facebook account, which actually I like. And there's one particular one, I'm not going to name names or anything, but it popped up in my feed, and it's the pastor, and he's doing this little video, and he says, "You might have made a New Year's resolution that you're going to start going back to church. Well, we want to invite you to blank church. And this would be a great time to start because we're beginning our new series, Best Year Yet. And what we want to do is give you some values you can apply to make this your best year yet. Price continues. There's no Jesus. There's no God. We're going to give you some values to make this your best year yet? Is that what I need? More values to uphold? Some more rules to keep? I'm not keeping the rules I've got. I'm not upholding the values I should be upholding. What I need is some forgiveness, man. I need some hope, some grace. I have no righteousness. I need the righteousness of Christ. There's nothing wrong with values. Nothing wrong with a good example to follow. But that's not the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ promises you forgiveness and reconciliation with God. And even more amazing, the gospel of Christ promises you the imputed righteousness of Jesus given to you so you can experience real peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this indescribable gift of righteousness that you have given to us who are unrighteous. Lord, cause us to be filled with gratitude for what you have done for us. And because you have done it and we have not, cause it to fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.